right, so it's a pretty big deal today. One of my favorite opponents, one of my favorite people, and a new Floridian resident, Shawn Michaels, is here. One of the stars of the new movie, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. And it's so funny to think that you actually live in Florida now. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, no way. Believe me, it's weird to me too, man. Yeah, you know, we've still got our place in Texas. You know, I still go back there. But we're not, I guess we're officially like those people that, you know, I've got the two sort of, I guess, residents, you know. But, you know, both of them are hot. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So it's not like we leave one really to escape the other, you know, the weather or anything. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know what? I mean, it's, I've enjoyed it. You know, I'll tell you what, the time it really dawned on me, I went, you know, I went up to Canada, went hunting, and man, came back, and then you step into the warm weather, and you go, you know what I mean? You get it right away.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm okay with, you know, trading in my jeans and snake boots for shorts and flip-flops.
Well, because the last time we talked, when you were on the show, I came to your place in Texas, and you were out in the middle of nowhere, and I remember you even saying, like, you're not going to find it on the GPS. I'm going to have to direct you in.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
meet you. And I was like, wow. So you kind of go from two extremes, because you go from basically a ranch in the wilderness, and now you actually live in a more residential area.
Yeah, no, and look, it was a big change. You know, we came here on vacation. I mean, it's just sort of, you know, it's the way, you know, my wife and I have rolled since the day we met each other, man. I mean, you know, asked her to marry me in 2 weeks, and, you know, 4 weeks after that, we were married, and, you know, so we came here on vacation, and we came for 5 days. And then, you know, midway through that, when she said, I'm renting the house down the road for 3 weeks, you know, this, the vacation's not long enough. So I said, all right. So we came back. So we went back home to Texas, came back in a week and stayed for 3 weeks. And in that 3 weeks, you know, just really started talking, you know, and it got, you're in the, like, the next half of your life, and you're turning into one of those people to where, look, you know, I've got to, you know, I basically get to live my dreams, and now it's time to focus on our kids and what they want to do. And it's one thing for me to want to be in the middle of nowhere and sort of, you know, be done and just grow old and
survivalist.
Be cool. Yeah, be cool with that. But it's another thing for them. They're just, you know, so we started really honestly thinking about that and their futures and stuff like that. There's just so much more opportunity here, you know, for, you know, the areas that certainly our kids are looking into. And there's more activity, and you know, gosh, you know, good schools, you know, just a number of different things.
Even just from a social aspect for your children, because like you said, living in the middle of nowhere, I'm sure there wasn't a lot of other kids around there.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, and, you know, most of their, you know, relationships were, you know, at church and stuff like that. And again, they, you know, our son, you know, just started driving when he was when we were in Texas. And
how old is he?
He's now 17.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, he turned 16 out there. Yeah, no, I mean, 17. He's 6'4", 200 pounds. Anyway, but got all the stuff that I didn't have, and he's got no words to wrestle at a boy. You know, he's got the size that he needs.
Isn't it funny that the older we grow, the less we hope our kids want to get into the business?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things you go, you know, use the brain God gave you. I mean, use your mind, get an education.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so, but, you know, but I mean, everything was so far. You know, he was still driving, but I mean, you know, it's 45 minutes to get anywhere, you know? And so anyway, it really, we weren't sure how we would adjust to it, but it's been really nice. Again, it's amazing, you know, when you, on one hand, it's great to have those tools that you can sort of, you know, make it and survive in any situation. And so you've got those tools, that's nice. But then when you go to an area where everything's convenient, you know, modern convenience ain't a bad thing either. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, again, I mean, you know, 10 minutes from stuff to go shopping, you know, 10 minutes, you know, 15 minutes from, you know, restaurants, stuff like that, you know, 45 minutes to, you know, Disney and all that kind of stuff. And I guess I always wondered, like, yeah, but even if you lived there, would you do that stuff all the time? I mean, geez, we've been to Typhoon Lagoon a number of times. You know what I mean? It really is. I mean, and there's a lot of stuff to do.
You were mentioning when you guys ordered a pizza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. And you don't even think about the first week we were here, man, ordered pizza. And the kids were like, this is awesome.
And never had a pizza delivery before.
And it dawned on me. Our son was 16 at the time, our daughter 12, and it's the first pizza they ever delivered to their home because they've lived in the country their whole lives. Wow. And of course, it is. It's those kind of things that you go, like, Jiminy crickets, you know?
Well, I bring it up, the fact that you do live in Florida, because we were able to meet up today here at the studio to be able to discuss your new project, which is the movie Resurrection of Gavin Stone, opened last week, actually in a lot of theaters. I Googled it, and it's like in 4 or 5 theaters around me, which is pretty rare for a movie like this.
No, it's a small movie. It's a faith-based movie. Those don't ever get wide distribution. It's a little wider down here in the South.
Yeah, right.
I didn't really, and it's one of those things. Heck, I don't know this world. It's incredibly fascinating, but it opened in about 800. I think they said 870.
That's
theaters.
A lot.
Well, and that's the thing. In some respects, that is a lot. And then you think about, the Triple X Channel was opened at like 4,000.
Sure, but if you're talking about kind of an independent faith-based movie, like you said, a WWE movie, most of them open in 30 theaters or something.
Right.
Like that.
Well, no, and that's the thing. I guess more than anything, I was really happy about is that once faith-based movie, it's a WWE movie. A lot of them go straight to VOD anyway or DVD. They don't even get a theatrical release. Yeah, and so. Again, it was exciting in that respect. It's all, in a short amount of time. Again, it's small, but it's made three quarters of its budget back.
I saw almost $2 million. I think it's made so far. I was checking last night,
and it was only a $2 million budget. That's great. Know what I mean? And so yeah. But more than anything, it was one of those things. That, like you and I, you and I always talk about that stuff. Is that very much enjoyed the wrestling, very much, but. We like to do other stuff, other creative stuff. You with your band and your music and all that. But it's we're not comfortable doing the same sort of thing all the time. And certainly for me, it's a world you sort of always wondered about. But I never wanted to do it while I was wrestling. I just I'm better. You're pretty good at doing a number of different things, but I like one thing at a time. And like I said, the opportunity came up. I really enjoyed it. Again, it's done pretty well. And the thing is, it's a nice movie. It's nothing. It isn't groundbreaking. It isn't,
But it's funny, like I was saying to you earlier, it's almost a comedy at points, which I was not expecting. I don't know why, but it's actually a really fun movie to check out.
Yeah, it is. It is a nice, fun movie with a good story. It is a very feel good story, and honestly, even the reviews, even the sort of the secular reviews. Have been the worst thing they can say is that that it's predictable in the movie about the sky, when everything's said and done, you do find out the sky is blue. It's about second chances. Clearly, it was a story that I could easily relate to.
Sure. From basic plot of the movies, the guy's an ex-child star, and then he gets in a lot of trouble, and then he has to do community service, so he goes to a church where he ends up being in a play based on Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and of course, he lies to them about being a Christian. Yeah. He sort of has to fake his way through. And again, the thing that I enjoyed about it, because look, you and I have talked about this as well, in the church there's some funny stuff that goes on, and if you're an outsider it looks strange. I can remember the first time I walked in, man, thinking like, Jiminy crickets, these people are weird, and it pokes fun at all that, and it has fun with it, and that's something that most faith-based films don't do. They can be a little bit rigid, a little pious. There's always that real uncomfortable part, even for me as a believer, you see those parts and you go, gosh, anybody who's not part of the church is going to feel really weird in this situation. And it's not like that.
That movie doesn't have this.
It doesn't. No. It does not. And it's a real natural process, and it's a personal process for this individual. And mostly it's the people that he runs across. It's, it's the fact that they are very open and honest about. The best line in the movie to me is as when he sort of gives everybody the shaft, and then he comes back and he asks for a second chance. And, they tell him okay, and he says, and he's stunned. He's like, just like that. Mm-hmm. And they said, look, man, that's what we do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I mean, it's, you know, no conditions, no limitations on that kind of stuff. And again, that's a nice message. You know, certainly, again, I know that, you know, again, maybe as I'm getting older, I'm just getting too soft in that respect. Mm-hmm. But I like every now and then, I like that kind of stuff. And the most important thing about this, I guess, for me is, as you know, look, you can do the action adventure thing. You can. It was very sort of out of the norm, mm-hmm. for one WWE films, and then for this ex wrestler to play a part that, again, didn't have anything to do with fighting anybody, mm-hmm. or being in any kind of struggle. And so for me, just from an acting standpoint and a creative standpoint, it was interesting in that respect. I've always one of the things that's always made you and I clicked is that you weren't one of the first guys that recognized in me, before you even knew me, that there was there's an artsy fart, it's an artsy fartsy aspect to this dude. I mean, the wrestling part is fun to him, but it's the trying to create, mm-hmm. something in a character and go a little deeper, have more layers. Yeah, yeah. And so in a, sort of a second chance for me in a different line of work where it doesn't, again, there is no physicality in it. It's challenging to try to, become these other people. And what I enjoy about it is the challenge is, in our line of work, you get to a point and heck, you're there now, been there. But you can pretty much get away with anything.
Yeah.
And so there are no limitations on you. And so in one respect, that's very liberating and freeing in the WWE aspect, but having to discipline it in a way to where you can't go everywhere because that character doesn't call for it.
That's right.
And that's what's really fun about this, mm-hmm. is having some discipline and not having that free range and being able to still do that and hopefully do a decent job at it.
So how was it for you coming in? This is a great point you just brought up. Like, you're Shawn Michaels. You come to the WWE, you do what you want. You can walk right into Vince's office. You can insult him. You have a laugh, whatever it may be. Now you're in a movie. You've got a director. You've got a cast of people, all of them, quote unquote, pro actors. Not that you're not, but in the outside world, sure. They would not see you as that, maybe. You have to automatically fit in and not be Shawn Michaels. Now you're just Shawn Michaels, fifth on the call sheet. How was that for you to be involved?
Yeah, you know what? First thing I did was I came in. I was open and honest with everybody. Guys, I have no idea what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was straightforward and told Dallas, the director, again, I'd like to think I'm been an athlete my whole life. I'm pretty coachable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so if you'll, give me, the direction and tell me what you're looking for, feel like I can get it for you.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Sure, sure.
At Brett Dalton, again, big star of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he was incredible.
He was the star?
Yes.
He was Gavin Stone.
That's the lead character, Brett Dalton from he's Grant Ward from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
But he was incredibly helpful. Mm-hmm. With me as well, and of course everybody else was just fantastic. So the thing is, it's funny because I'm now that guy that everybody watched. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But I think they appreciated the fact that I came in, honest about the fact that, again, look, guys, I don't, this is my first time. So if you gotta talk
to me out. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta be open and honest and shoot straight with me because it's what.
Let me show.
Yep. That's right. The fact that, again, they were all understanding of the fact that, again, they didn't have to, tiptoe around me.
And they were fans of yours or knew Shawn Michaels,
yeah,
HBK?
Everybody, at one time or another, everybody goes yeah. through the wrestling phase, man. Yeah. Well, when you've done it for 30 years, you cover just about everybody,
right. That's right.
On the set.
How did you get involved with the project in the first place?
The WWE call. Now, this is an interesting story. Is Dallas, the director, he just they said, this is our first time doing a faith based movie. We're not going to force you, but we always talk. If we can get a wrestler in there, we always appreciate it. And Dallas said, look, I've got a perfect role that I think a wrestler that will fit. And it was the the character of Doug.
Mm-hmm. He's a mechanic.
And, yeah.
Used to be a biker.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's an ex-con. Used to be a biker, and you know, obviously turned his life around in the big house, and came out, and yeah, now just working on cars and being a husband and a father. And honestly, you know, he, you know, in a perfect world, Dad's like, yeah, you know, if I could get a Christian dude to play that, that'd be awesome. And there's two guys he knew, and that was me and you.
Oh,
believe it or not, yeah,
right on.
Yeah, and you know, but then he, you know, he heard, you know, saw my story, and he said he goes, oh, once you hear, you know, your story, because you were Doug.
That's you.
Know?
Yeah,
you know,
it really is.
Yeah, and he said it was, you know, similar stories, so he called the WWE and asked him, and you know, it's funny because they said, nah, Sean's not going to want to do it. and he said, he goes, gosh, they really tried to talk me out of it. He goes, do you have any idea why that would be? I said, well, I think it's because in the past I always said no, and I don't think they understood why.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, and the thing is, you know, as you know, when you do a movie, you still got to, you know, make your wrestling gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that just means you're doing, you know,
yeah,
a ton of work. Yeah, and of course, you know, my biggest thing was, you know, clearly I want to go home, you know, and that's why I only do the one thing at a time, because yeah, I do too many things and clearly you're not home much. And then
right.
You know, that's just not that. Nope. No aspect of my life for the last 18 years.
I would have got that. I had that same thing too. And this is not solely based on financially, but as a businessman, as we both are, and if you're going to be on the road, it's like, we got this movie for you. It's 4 weeks making this amount of money, working 18 hours a day. I'd rather just stay on the road with you, Vince, for 4 weeks, work my 3-4 shots a week, be home 3-4 nights, and make 5 times the money. What's the point?
Yeah,
like,
right.
what's the benefit of doing it? Not to sound mean, but
yeah.
That's, you know.
No, no. And the thing is, honestly, it was juggling too. And then the only other time I had an opportunity to do it, which, and again, you know, the money was good. And like I said, I think it really threw him off. But it was 2 days after I retired.
Hmm.
I came home and something came up and they were like, okay, we were going to use this guy. He's gone now, you know, but this, I mean, it's 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty decent, you know, pretty decent payoff. And I said, look, I just told my family I'm coming home. I can't turn around and leave for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know, and again, this is not a knock against them, but you know, I mean, mm-hmm. I just don't know how they thought of that. So I think it gave them the impression that Sean just not interested in doing anything.
Movies,
the man's
right.
Not going to leave home.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And certainly for, because you know, there was very little money
mm-hmm.
in this particular project.
Right.
And, but, you know, but the timing and everything was right. You know, again, it was whatever it was. It was 4 years, 5 years into, you know, my retirement, mm-hmm. you know, and again, it was one of those things where everything, you know, worked out for the better. And again, because it's never been doing this stuff, the acting, never been about the money. It just like wrestling never was.
Sure.
Honestly, it's about whether, you know, it piques your interest creatively. And surely this did. And that's the thing, I've done a couple small parts in some other movies as well, just because it's interesting and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And each role, again, I guess that's the thing. It's so nice to play something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
sure, sure.
And again, it's not that, I would imagine, again, when you're the Beeve and Fonz, you know, all those people that played one character for so long, and people don't understand why they want to leave, why they want to stop, because like, hey man, it's just
right.
easy money.
Yeah.
And it is. But you as the performer get to a point to where you feel like, I got to do something different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to conveniently segue to you and I's angle, but I mean, that's why we enjoyed it so much, because it was so very different.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many times I get it. You know, I'm mad at the guy, we're going to fight, and that's, you know, and for the most part, sure, it always comes down to that, but, you know, you always jump at the chance to try to get something that's maybe a little deeper, going a little farther, trying something a little different. And I felt, you know, certainly from a wrestling standpoint, you know, I've explored all of HBO, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You've done what you can do in that area. And so even doing these small roles in these other movies, it's just interesting. You know,
see,
what I mean?
Really, the thing about it too is like I know now why it took you so long to get in this, but to me, you could have done this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, because you're a great actor within the realm of WWE, which to me should still be up for grabs for Emmys, best best performance, because I still remember when we had our angle, there was two times. One is when we were doing the contract signing and I wouldn't look at you, and you just this burning hatred that you had in your eyes without saying anything. And then the time when you beat the crap out of me in the unsanctioned match, but it didn't matter because I'd still, you know, destroyed your family or whatever it was.
Right.
And just this, you were like crying, but you were angry. And it was just like, what a great performance as an actor.
Well, and that's the thing. Right. And there. I was thinking, I mean, your character pushed me. And again, Lawler did such a great job.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm walking out.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know, but the thing is, can he forgive himself? You know, you turned me into something that I didn't want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That I didn't want to become. You know what I mean? And I struggled with that.
Mm.
And, you know, is it right? You know, are you still justified to go that far, even though he did this? Because
right.
you just did something incredibly, you know, tough to another human being.
Right.
You know, and yes, and so again, and that's why I guess I could do that and say that stuff with you, and you don't look at me like, ugh, just shut up and wrestle. You know what I mean?
No,
because it is you. As a performer, you want to see if you can, again, you know, I don't know. I mean, can I do it? Can I do it? Can I do it convincingly? Can I convince you, the audience, that I really am going through, you know, through that?
Mm.
And that's fun to do, I guess. And I, as best I can understand, that is acting. It's much like, even the wrestling. I mean, to this day, still don't know what any of the holds are called or the moves
yeah,
or this,
right,
that, and the
right,
other.
Right.
You know, but I can do them.
Mm-hmm.
And acting's the same way. I haven't been classically trained, but I do understand, you know, conflict within oneself and trying to go to a place that you know, gives you and the audience an appearance that you are really
committing.
Yeah, going mm-hmm. through this, and that's a fun, an enjoyable thing for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever that's worth, whatever that means, that's why I've, again, enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess to your point, I don't know. I certainly never wanted to try all of them
to juggle, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And also, again, I guess ultimately this is all extra to me. I was telling somebody the other day, gosh, you have to understand, at about 28, you know, I had reached sort of, well, I mean, and I mean it in the most positive and humble way.
Yeah.
Like I'd reached what my 12-year-old brain,
yeah,
you know, dreamed of.
You accomplished it.
You know what I mean? And then you go, oh my goodness, I'm so fortunate now to have the opportunity to dream bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, and you don't really, oh gosh, I mean, am I even allowed to do that? And if I were, what would it be? And even that's a process in mm-hmm. in and of itself, because you know, certainly for me, I mean, I get to a point to where I don't want to selfishly, I don't know, ask for more, so to speak.
But I think that's okay. I think a lot of times people do put themselves in a box of like, okay, this is who I am. I've done this. I got to stay in this world. Like you said, wrestling wise, you accomplished more than you ever could have. Some would say you're the greatest of all time. I'm one of them. But that doesn't mean that you have to just settle for that. Now, maybe you do want to try acting. It's not selfish.
Right.
And maybe you do want to try and have your own hunting show. Or maybe you do want to have your own line of bow and arrows or whatever. Maybe,
right,
I don't know.
Right.
The HBK bow and arrow.
Yeah, right.
But why not, right? I mean, and the thing is,
yeah,
you've done it in one world, so why not be successful in another area?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I, again, so, you know, I guess the only thing that changes is that I do it with, you know, certainly far more, I don't know, humility,
mm-hmm.
and understanding that, you know, hey, you know, make sure you're gracious and appreciative this whole time.
Right.
You know, don't
right,
get right. Don't get greedy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get selfish. And that's something that, again, and also, I don't even, you know, so many of them, I don't even know. Okay, so you want to do that? I don't even know the process. Again, it was I've now sort of learned, having done a few of them, the you know, the movie thing, and it's a lot of, you know, waiting around. And but I mean, it's just funny. You've always got somebody walking you somewhere. You know,
yeah,
they never. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Once they eat. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can only work so long.
Yeah,
and that's one of those things. It's like
for us coming from WWE, it's like,
oh my goodness, you've got to give us lunch now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I can have anything I want.
Right, yeah,
really.
Exactly,
you bring it to my trailer.
Yeah,
you know
what was so funny in the Gavin Stone movie? The one thing that was in my wheelhouse was this stunt where Gavin, you know, the part where Gavin's up and I, you know, I have to catch him.
Yeah, you're like, you're trying to, you're, he's hanging like Jesus ascending into the sky, and yes, then he falls and you have to catch him.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, a stuntman had to come in for that. I could only get to do the last part of it. And they're like, no, you're not allowed to do that. I said, well, you know, it's just, you know, SAG rules and
this
stuff
is what
like
I
that.
Do.
And they're, you know, we're worried you're going to get hurt and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm so moved by the fact that someone
really
worried that I'm going to get hurt. Yeah, it was, you know, so you go like, I might cry a little bit because you care, or at least you make me feel like you do.
It's interesting to me too that the movie is a WWE Films along with a couple of the companies, because it's a faith based movie, and WWE, especially our boss, not the most faith based guy. What made them decide they wanted to do a faith based movie?
Well, I mean, now this is me, you know, I don't know, talking out of my yahoo. It's my understanding, and again, clearly, I don't know, because I don't talk to anybody, and nobody tell you. They don't tell me why they do, you know, do stuff. Right. But it was my understanding that they understand that is a specific sort of targeted audience.
Oh, okay.
You know, but at the same time, they also they can be a pretty supportive audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I learned through this that one, it was the WWE and I want to say like Bloom Entertainment, which is almost exclusively horror flicks.
Oh yeah, Blumhouse or something.
Yeah, so it was those two worlds. Talk about two very, you know, again, different worlds, WWE and the horror flick, you know, coming together to do this. But I think they understood that, yeah, that there is. It's a small audience, but they're a pretty faithful,
gotcha,
and loyal audience. So let's go ahead and make something. And look, you know as well as I do, whether people sort of, you know, whatever, they've got their questions about, but the WWE is trying to, they're more interested in all around family programming. Again, whether I'm not you know,
you're right though. Yeah,
trying to argue with anybody whether it's right or wrong. It's again, that's all stuff that's made by other people. But you know, you don't ever. It's almost hard to offend anybody. Again, except for the people that, you know, do, you know, spend all their time, you know, purposely wanting to be offended and fighting against,
looking
that,
for reasons to be
right. But you know, you know, you can't go wrong. And the thing is, it's a good, nice, you know, movie. Again,
yeah,
it's sort of like, again, going on in the middle of the card and you have a good wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and of course, again, no, you don't break any ground, but you have a really good wrestling match and you've done your job.
Entertaining, enjoyable.
And the thing is, no, you didn't break any new ground. No, you didn't do, but you know, you weren't supposed to do,
mm-hmm,
you know, you're supposed to save, you know, the big stuff for the main event guys,
right,
you know,
right.
And you didn't stink the joint out, and you didn't, you know, and you didn't open the show. You were, you know, you were support. And I think that's, again, if anything, I mean, people want to call it a mid-card, you know, a movie. They certainly
movie.
Can, but it is. It's a small independent film movie that was supposed to, you know, you go into it and go, that's a nice, that's a really,
you know,
nice
what I liked
movie.
About it is that, like, and I've seen some faith-based movies, and a lot of times they bite off more they can chew. Like God bless the Left Behind with Kirk Cameron. It's like, you're taking a movie that needs $100 million budget and trying to make it for, you know, five.
Right.
Doesn't work. This movie knew exactly what it was, and whether it's a Christian movie or whether it was a romantic comedy, it's a fun, it's a good movie for anybody to watch, and it knows exactly what it is, so therefore it works.
Yeah,
it's very easy to watch. Like, you could watch it with people that aren't, you know, faith based.
Right, exactly. Well, that's the, you know, I liken it to Sister Act. You know,
ah,
I mean,
nice.
You
good call,
go back
yeah.
to Sister Act. All right, now back then, and that was all back before time where people were, you know, labeling stuff as a Christian movie.
Mm.
And listen, but she goes in there. She's an outsider. She's hiding, you know, but she goes in there, and her character is generally changed by the people that she, you know, in
right.
the church that she's been, and it all takes place in her church,
mm-hmm,
and she comes out of it a different person and wanting to be a better person. And it's funny, and you laugh and everything. All the same things that
yeah.
go into our film are there in Sister Act.
Yeah.
And nobody sits there and says that that's a
no.
pretty typical, you know, and it's a faith-based movie, and so another Jesus propaganda film.
But it also got a lot of the same qualities as School of Rock. I just watched that a couple weeks ago with Jack Black, where he's trying to get into a band, and he goes, fakes being a substitute teacher, and then forms a band with the kids, and then they find out he's not really a substitute teacher, and everything falls apart, but he gets redemption in the end.
Exactly.
It's that type of a movie.
Exactly. And I'm not saying it just happens to take place in a church, and again, as the main character plays the role of Jesus, again, you know, Jesus' life has an effect on him. Mm-hmm. Again, just like, you know, being around those kids has an effect on Jack Black's character. You know what I mean? And honestly, that's really the same message that, you know, that we as people, you know, how we treat one another, accepting and loving and caring for one another, is really what changes, mm-hmm. you know, all of us.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's our personal experiences with one another. Usually, if you have a decent encounter with somebody, you know, it's usually more pleasant, and you think more pleasant thoughts about them, than the other. You know what I mean? And honestly, that is, and of course, it's about second chances, and name me one person walking the face of God's green earth that hasn't needed one of those.
That's the truth. Is this something you want to do more of? More acting?
Yeah. Well, as I say, there's been I did a small part in another WWE film, and then of course I did a small role in a spoof movie, a spoof of the Avengers. And
that's right. You know, I actually had heard about that at some point. I think it was like kind of a Guardians of the Galaxy type thing.
Yeah, well, I think that was another one. For whatever reason, I think you and I come up a lot. Yeah.
They're looking for ruggedly handsome guys. It must be, man.
I'd like to think so.
That's funny. Yeah. That is the one, though. That's the one.
Yeah. And, of course, I think you and I are the only two guys that people know of that can do yoga. You know, that fit the mold of what they were looking for. But that was the thing. You know, it was.
What's the movie called? That one.
Avengers of Justice.
That's it. Yeah.
The Farce Wars, and of course, or The Farce Awakens.
The Farce Awakens. Yeah. That's it, yeah.
But of course, yeah, the character is Master Yoga, and of course, I'm getting painted green every day, and doing yoga, and it was just, again, as you know, it was just all that silly stuff that is to me is just hilarious. And so, again, I'm reading the script and I'm laughing, and of course, I jumped at the chance to do it. Plus, it's very hard, and I guess it always works like this. You know, unless, of course, you're carrying a movie, which I get the other guys are working for 3 weeks, six weeks, you know, whatever. But, gosh, I mean, it's hard to turn down. I mean, they come in, look, we can get your stuff done in 3 days.
Yeah.
And we can have you there for 2 days or whatever. And like I said, it's great experience. It's a lot of fun to do. And, again, it for me, it certainly feeds that creative,
That's what we were saying. You want to still be creatively stimulated. Just because wrestling is not happening doesn't mean you can't go do these other things.
Right.
What you need to do as a performer.
Certainly for me. I mean, I do enjoy that, and like I said, I still have people looking at me like, why would you, when you can go here for X amount for a day, why would you go here? And it's like, that'd be, again, it's like Scott Hall used to say, geez, dude, how long are you gonna stay the starving artist? I don't know. There's a part of me that will always, that will.
It's very romantic to be the starving artist, but not very practical, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not very practical.
Talk is Jericho.
All right, we're back with Shawn Michaels and just finishing up on the resurrection of Gavin Stone before we talk about some other things. Did you notice, is it just me, that the DJ in that one scene looked exactly like Sir Oliver Humperdinck?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What was the deal with that guy? Looked just like him.
Well, and the thing is, I guess he's a real, like I said, but he was fantastic. I mean, he was just, that role, he's, what is he, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
On there. And,
yeah.
And the guy almost steals the show because, again, he's just, who hasn't been with a DJ that's like that? And you're like, come on.
Well, say your thing. Yeah. Say your catchphrase.
Yeah,
say it.
Exactly. Would you like me to call you,
should I call you Gavin or whatever his character was? Yeah.
Exactly. Chucky or whatever. And he goes, if you can call me Gavin. He goes, okay, Chucky. if you can call me Sean. Okay, it's me Shizzle. It's me
Did you have a premiere where everyone went to the theater to watch the movie?
No.
Okay.
We did up at Harvest, where most of the church scenes were filmed, is Harvest Bible Chapel outside of Chicago. And so we had one there, up there where they did it, which is, well, you know, again, it's amazing. Some of these big churches are now getting into
their concert halls. They're making films. Like they become these giant entertainment complexes.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think they're understanding that, you know, again for a, you know, for a certain audience, there is a market for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, you know, look, you know, again, whether you agree with it or you don't, that's what they feel called to do, which is, you know.
Well, but they have to compete with the entertainment of the world.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think when I used to go to church as a kid, it'd be more of like I was an Anglican. So it was almost like a Catholic thing where it's like, the guys are all wearing the cloaks and there's the incense and there's a lot of chanting and hymns. Yeah. Now you go, there's a rock and roll band playing. It's fun. They show clips from like Groundhog Day for the sermon, Bill Murray doing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's becoming it's fun to go.
It is. Like, I mean, that is, I guess, the biggest difference. I guess, and the thing is, I don't know, that maybe helped or drew it to me, because it isn't boring, mm-hmm. you know, it isn't, and it is very active, and it, the kids enjoy it, and it is, like I said, it's a decent community to be around, it's like everything, just, you know, again, like you can love wrestling, you can still run into people that'll make you just not want to be around it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They take all the fun out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's got nothing to do with the foundational substance of what something is. Again, like the wrestling is, I'll always, you know, will have enjoyed that time in the ring. But gosh darn it, if there aren't, you know, a lot of people that can be around it that just go, you know what, it's now no longer worth it, you know, because you take all the fun out of it.
It made me laugh towards the end of the last few matches that you did, or not last few, last year or so, when we would do something or whatever, and we'd come out of the ring and say, that was really good. And you would say, is it? I don't even know what's good and what's not good anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting told this, then this guy's saying this and do that. And it's like, I'm not sure what's even working and what's not working as far as what these guys want.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, happen.
Yeah, certainly it does. Because again, you know, I can remember for the longest time going and understanding, feeling within myself, you know, that does, now you could come out and go, it doesn't matter what anybody says.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I know. And then after a while you get barraged with so many different things and you don't ever want to eliminate or push aside the idea that perhaps, because I mean, heck, I was a part of it one time, but that there's a shift going on, that there is a change within the industry, you know, and again, as you do get older, you're like, well, there's certainly the possibility that whatever the audience to this, the product, it is changing and it is shifting. And I think that's certainly where I was. But, you know, and the thing is, or is that happening just within you,
mm-hmm.
as the individual? Are you now getting to a point to where, I don't know, it doesn't, I don't know, bring you what it brought you.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly can't say if that was all of them or not. I don't know, but to your point, you start to hear so many different things after a while to people that, I don't know, for the most part, you like and you respect, but nobody is even consistent with the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even they're sort of all over the map, and you go, you know, like you said, I go, yeah, is it? I mean, because there's a part of me that, I mean, I really did coming out, man, walking up that aisle, though, man, we nailed it.
Yeah.
And then you come in here and you see everybody just sort of sitting there.
That was not looking at you and kind of like,
yeah, well, and just sort of, yeah, and it's like, all right, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, and so that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's, again, one of the things where you go, you certainly feel comfortable walking away. I mean, and maybe that's one of the reasons I was so comfortable.
Yeah, because you're one of the few. When you walked away, you did not have another match. And even earlier this year, there was some memes going around of AJ Styles and Shawn Michaels for the Alamo Dome in San Antonio for Royal Rumble this weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, wow, if there was ever a match that Shawn might entertain, and then you're like, nope, I don't know where that came from, and
he's
not doing it.
No, and it's got nothing to do, because there are, you know, I guess even your guy, you know, Kevin, you know, there are a number of young talent that you go, oh, that's always going to go on. In 10 years from now, there's going to be a number of young talent that you go, oh, I could have had a good match with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you should do them. You just say, again, I also go back before I was in wrestling, and I think to myself, oh, those are guys I would have really liked to have worked with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we all have that. I just don't ever consider them as a real possibility because I understand that, you know, I understand why I made the decision I made and things of that nature. So I can appreciate that it's still a question mm-hmm. in everybody else's mind. Certainly, you know, given the track record of retirements,
right?
Yeah, in wrestling, you know, I can understand that. But I hope it never comes off as a slight to the talent because no, I mean there are. I mean whether it's AJ, Seth. I mean I think about Kevin. I mean I mentioned Samoa Joe the other day because like for the first time ever, you know, I hear about a lot of things, but I haven't got to watch. I mean you and I have talked about it. I don't watch.
I understand. Yeah,
you know what I mean. I would watch my match, you know, whatever that I had with the pay-per-view, I'd watch it one time, and I would take in what I liked and, you know, and sort of nitpick what I didn't and then adjust and move on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I never looked in the rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. And so, again, and that could be a fault. I'm just saying that was the way I did it. So my point is I hope it never, you know, comes across as a slight, you know, to the guys, because they don't ever mean it that way, because I think it's like, oh, I'd match up, and again, you know, and from a, I guess, in a, the AJs and the Seths, you know, that's one of those ones where, yeah, that would be a really good match. But then I also look at it as, again, like guys like Samoa Joe and Kevin, sort more of an, you know, again, were a different style and a different, and that's always sort of intriguing to me right. as well.
Yeah.
And so, and I suppose that's probably just me trying to think a little more outside of the box mm-hmm. because the one, you know, again, it's like the straight black suit. You know, it's always going to work. You know what I mean? It's always going to work. It's always going to be, you know, but, you know, every now and then you want to, you know, I'm going to go ahead and try the gray print stripe. You know what I mean? Just to throw a little flash. So, I, you know, that's why I, and of course, when you say that, then of course, you know, mm-hmm. people take that ball and run with it. But look, as you know, again, you know, in humility, you're going, look, I mean, I think it's good that 7 years after I retire, people are still, you know, saying that, you know, he's going to come back or this can happen. I mean, I think that's a good sign because that means you accomplished, you know, you left with leaving
them wanting more, like you said.
And that, yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, clear, you know, truly in the entertainment industry, that is what we're supposed to be mm-hmm. doing. And you certainly don't want to, you know, again, to be, you know, something to where they go, you know, whatever.
It's not he's still here?
Yeah, exactly. So
what was your mindset to retire and not come back? It wasn't an injury issue.
No, it wasn't. You know, and it's funny because everybody's like, oh, he's always going to keep you. Let's keep his word to Undertaker.
And that's
Well, that's because I said that in the promo and they don't understand that, you know, that some stuff has to be said strictly for pro wrestling promo stuff. You know,
show business.
And then, exactly.
Yeah. I don't think Undertaker would be mad at you if you came back.
Right? Mark would be like, brother, come back and make the money.
Yeah.
Mark don't care. You know that.
Let's do number three.
Yeah, exactly. You know he don't care.
Right.
But no, it was, you know, honestly, just wanting to come home. Mm-hmm. And the thing is also the reason I never did the, you know, because I clearly could have come back just once or twice a year. Sure. You know,
Daniel Bryan thing was right there if you wanted it.
All those things. It's just in the past, my experience has always been, certainly for me, and everybody's a different talent, but for me, every time I had even sort of a, you know, I don't know how to say it because I've got a great working relationship with them now, but if it wasn't, if I didn't sort of cut it off, my phone was going to ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a bad thing. It is a wonderful, great problem to have. But it's just every time somebody went down, my phone rang. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I through no fault of theirs, because I could have said no, I never felt right saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I always, you know, it's like, you know, and because I know what, you know, whatever, one of your main guys not showing up or not, you know, I know that hurts. It puts you in a tough spot. And the thing is, I never wanted to do that with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, as you know, whether people, you know, can believe it or not, that one of, you know, one of the bigger drawbacks I've had is I am unbelievably loyal, and I've always been loyal to the WWE. And, you know, again, whether, anybody, you know, wants to like that or dislike it, it the fact is I've been there since I was 23.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and one of the reasons for that is because I'm loyal and they're loyal. You know what I mean? So it works both sure. ways. I mean,
you and I have another similarity in that from the moment we stepped through the curtain for WWE, we never worked anywhere else.
Right.
Who can say that? Never. I've been the same since I started there in 99. I have never worked a match for anybody else other than Vince McMahon.
Right.
And you're the same.
Yeah.
And that's pretty rare.
It is. And the thing is, I mean, and dude, I mean, gosh, you know, I did that in 88.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things that, right or wrong, they have always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I mean, from the time I was 23. And I, you know, and again, and I put him through a lot early, but you know, again, and I, you know, everybody has to understand, like, it's been 15 years. You know what I mean? I've now been a better employee
right.
for longer than I was a trouble.
And, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So eventually you're gonna have to let that go, you know? but you know, regardless, they've always been there. And so I knew that there was only one way that I'd be able to, and it, you know what I mean? So I mean that in the most positive
sure,
way.
Sure, I get it.
But it had to be a very adamant, you know, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, in that respect, and like I said, now and you know, that was not having any idea, you know, where they'd grow or you know, whatever. You know, now the, you know, the performance center and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I mean, mm-hmm. so there's certainly other aspects. You know, and also wanting to, you know, get away, try something else. You know, clear your head, have some time. You know, all those things.
Sure.
Just, you know, and I've never wanted to give the WWE anything but my best.
Mm-hmm.
I think I owe them that. And so, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be doing that. I didn't want to just, you know, sort of take money from them, so to speak. I didn't want to, you know, have wrestling matches when I wasn't, you know,
right.
giving my everything.
I think that's one of the things why Steve didn't want to come back, is he didn't want to come back and be a facsimile of Stone Cold Steve Austin. If he couldn't be, you know, 1998 stomping a mud hole in you, Steve Austin, he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us are like that. I mean, whether you want to, see, you know, you think about Edge and Jay. I mean, I just think our generation is a little different than the other one, you mm-hmm. know, the one before us, just in that, yeah, you know, and again, much big thanks to the WWE is that have the ability to brand ourselves as a certain whatever. And once we know that we can't continue to do that or don't have the desire to do that or go like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
We're okay with going, you know, mm-hmm. we'll move on.
Go.
And to their credit, as you know, there's still other things to do within
that umbrella.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, I think that's, and they don't get enough credit for that. You know, I think I can remember talking to Scott Armstrong, you know, again, even, you know, think about Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I mean? I mean,
great
having
call.
To learn, you know, all that. I mean, I used to be, you know, guys like Gorilla Monsoon doing that.
And when we were talking, it was the General Kidman times the show. So back behind the curtain in the gorilla position.
Yeah.
Pete. Kidman is the guy who actually says 1 minute left, 2 minutes left, we got to cut here, we got to do that. It's a big responsibility.
Huge responsibility.
Yeah.
And then when people like me and you always go long, you know what I mean? He's got to completely reshuffle
yeah.
everything,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And make it work, you know?
Yeah.
And so that is a dude that just, you know, and Scott Armstrong, again, these are guys that just used to be wrestlers. And then,
yeah.
and then somebody said, well, look, this, you know, we need to pass this on. And I, because I did, I asked them, you know, and they're like, well, there's no way we can learn that. But the thing is, they go, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And they sit there and they help you and they teach you. And, you know,
you're learning another trade
yes,
within the business. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the thing that, again, we all sort of get the opportunity to do
mm-hmm.
within the industry that we, you know and love. And,
right.
and again, I think that's, I think that's cool because, again, there's, you know, for this line of work that there used to be no, sort of guarantees or future in or dependability or any of that stuff, all those things, you know, they're not really there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, clearly, if you're what you know, if you're somebody, you know, I'm leaving or doing whatever, or you know, but
even that doesn't happen as much anymore now.
You still have, yeah, I was gonna say, you still usually have the opportunity. You leave on good terms.
Yeah, before like the days of leaving, like, you know, I'm out of here or unsafe working environment or the screw job and all that stuff. It's amazing how the business has transformed in the last 10, 15 years, which it's very much a it's a corporate world where there's room for everybody, and there's really, like, the locker room now, there's no bullies, there's no, I'm sure there's always political machinations, but it's not obvious anymore. Everyone's really nice to each other.
Right.
There's no one, you know, ribbing each other.
I always wonder, because, I mean, I don't know, and even you, look, I mean, you know, whether, I know you're, you know, pretty positive, you're still hip and cool, but yeah, but there's probably stuff that still goes on that you don't know about because we're just so not a part of that anymore. But we can both say, without equivocation, whatever it's called, that if it was going on like it used to, you'd still hear about it, because nobody can keep a secret in wrestling business.
Right.
So I mean that. So from that standpoint, you would at least hear about it, even if it's, you know, not a thing that you do anymore, or a crowd you run with, or any of that kind of stuff. And the thing is, there's none of that. I mean, it is. And again, it always sounds like, it probably sounds like we're, you know, kissing up and stuff, but
it's really not, though. It's the truth.
Isn't. It's a lot more wrestler friendly environment than it was. And so, again, you know, and I suppose, you know, somebody can always make the argument that, you know, you get beat enough, you'll eventually, you know, just, if you only take one whip in a day, it feels like it's, you know, you know what I mean? It's, you know, like it's hallelujah time. But
they call it Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but you know, I do. I think it's a heck of a lot better. And as I say, they try to grow us all up from within. You know what I mean? And like I said, I'm just, you know, I think, you know, everybody's more fortunate from that standpoint because
absolutely.
You know, there's longevity.
But talking about longevity, and there's been some rumors and stuff. I don't even know if it's a public thing, but that you've been to the PC a few times and have trained or have ran a few classes, or is that something? Is that true?
Yeah, well, I've been down there. I've run nothing.
Okay,
you know, so let's not get crazy. I've replaced no one. I've run nothing. I think all of us, you know, are concerned about me running anything. I mean, let's face it, that's the bigger question. Like, what would he do? What would we feel comfortable allowing him to do? But you know, I've been down there. We are discussing it. I'm going to NXT, you know, in San Antonio. But yeah, you know, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Sort of what can I do to help, and honestly, one of the big things, you know, for me, I think it's going to be, you know, difficult or a challenge to get used to, which again, it's structure.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's, you know,
having to stay within the confines of the program.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things. But again, one, you know, Hunter does a great job. He gives every, you know, the times I've been down there, you know, Matt Bloom, Matt's honest with him.
Yeah,
Matt is straightforward and honest with him. Terry Taylor is straightforward and honest with him. And so that there certainly does not appear, Hunter's the same way. I mean, you don't have to beat around the bush. You're allowed to not only teach them the wrestling aspect, you're allowed to tell them about the business side of it that goes on, the realities that are there, because it's a full scale training facility. Because we do you no good if we don't tell you.
Sure, you need to learn that part of it too.
Right, and to imply that's not there or you can't do it or you don't want to do it, well, then you're dumb and you're going to get run over.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, you got nobody to blame but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's that's one of the things, again, that, you know, certainly for me, you feel somewhat apprehensive about it. You know, yeah, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, if you equip somebody physically to do everything, and then they do it, and then they don't see what they believe is the correct amount of fruit or reward from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you allowed to tell them why and how this may or may not happen? Again, I mean, and I'm just using, and I will give no names, but using stories. You know, you run into, you know, talented young men, and then you see another aspect of them where, and again, and they are talented and they are good, and things aren't happening, and you wonder why. And then there are times, you know, again, just here and there, you hear them say something, make an offhanded comment, or to them what they think is a joke or this, that, and the other. And then you hear another person over there, like, well, that's why.
Yeah.
You know, again, and of course, nothing more dangerous, as you know, heck, even on any roster, but let alone not the very tip top, of feeling like you've arrived, or that you've got this under control, or that you've mastered this. There's nothing will hurt greatness more than believing you've already attained it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know,
and there is a little bit of that in that NXT world. I found, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And again, that's not a knock, but it's trying to strike the right balance between an unbelievable amount of confidence, but knowing, you know, that there's more. And again, the thing is, it's not a slight against them either, because it's just a comment,
mm-hmm.
you know. And to me, heck, a harmless comment. But I guess what I'm wondering is, like, so am I allowed to go look? Because I mean, that's one of the things. At the very least, one thing I bring to the table is no judgment,
right?
Because I mean, I've done it all, messed everything up. So you're not going to get a hard time from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel compelled to at least tell you, and the question I have is, like, am I allowed to? You know,
say,
like, look, what you said this, and I totally get it, and it doesn't bother me one bit. As long as you deliver in the ring, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But this person over there said that. You know, if it's happening here, in their minds, they can only believe that as you go up the ladder, that will continue to happen. And as you go up that ladder, whether you think it will or not, everything magnifies, okay? So if this little rumble that you said here, you know, rumbles this way, you've got to understand that up here, that's going to be seen as just a hassle that nobody wants to put up with.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Why would we put up with that when this guy over here, you know, he'll run through a brick wall on fire and say, thank you, can I do it again? But you know what I mean? But we've got you saying that. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that, you know, I need to teach you that aspect of it too. You just got to.
Do you think, like.
I don't know what you do there.
It's interesting too, because if you had, like, you know, Jericho Michaels class, you know, one of the things you would say is one of the reasons why we got to the point where we did is because we stood up for ourselves. And maybe not in the most unabrasive of ways, but sometimes you have to stand up for yourself if you know something is right. And I find that maybe sometimes confidence gets confused with arrogance.
Sure.
And I think I had that reputation. I know you did. I know CM Punk had it. But in the long run, it helped make us to legit main event, whatever that is,
right,
guy. I don't know if that element is there now, because it's much more, like you said, do not do that because you don't want to cause the problems.
Sure.
And sometimes I think you might have to cause problems to get there.
And therein lies, okay, how do I teach somebody?
Right. And how do you teach someone to tell the boss to F off if you have to? Not literally, but figuratively.
And the only way that I can think of it is that, you know, and I've said it to some people, and again, not to PC, I'm saying other guys I've run across back when I was working. You know, because they would come and ask me, that same question, like, you know, when you did this, how did you know? And it's like, you have to understand, every guy reaches his point. You know, what you do when you get to that point, you know, I don't know, we all react differently. You know, all you can do is tell them, look, only you will know when you feel like it's time to do that.
Right.
If you never feel like it's time, or you always feel like it's time, but you are afraid to do it, it's not time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the thing is, and the reason I say that is because he will know. I don't know if it's in the eyes. I don't know if it's in the delivery. I don't know if it's in the personality of you, the individual. You know, all of that, I think, is taken on a case-by-case basis, individual-by-individual basis, to where, you know, that person reaches that point, they come in, they deliver whatever that, you know, hear me now message or whatever, or I, you know, you've got to give me the chance. And he either buys it, and when he buys it, he goes with it, as you know. If
right,
you
convince him, boss.
Yeah. It's down to my core, I believe this, and I know this will work, I know this is the right thing to do. And if by any chance it is not the right thing to do, I will do it so well that absolutely nobody in this building or anybody walking straight at home will know that it's the wrong.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That it isn't the right thing.
Yeah.
But it's all about convincing that person who has seen, whether you like it or not, has seen literally, if not millions, at the very least hundreds of thousands of wrestlers come and tell him the same exact thing, right?
I just had the same conversation with Kevin Owens on Monday.
Yeah. It's not
Vince
like he
actually is right. Exactly. Because he's had dozens and hundreds of wrestlers come tell him why his idea doesn't work. And he just goes, thank you.
Or why I'm the guy to do it. Or I'm the guy. Again, so what is it that makes you, and gosh, when you start to narrow that down, that starts to fall down into a pretty small class. And even the people you name, and again, and Punk did it, but how many people have done it and then have still stayed or have still managed to, you know, create longevity or, you know, just a lot of things.
Yeah.
Or do it and then still, you know, when he sees you, be like genuinely
happy to see you.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know,
and you
not
can tell.
Resent you or whatever, but again, appreciate you in the fact that, you know, that I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, there's a number of different things, but all you can do is, you know, again, back to your original question with somebody, you know, all you can do is explain that to them. And I always try to tell them, like, oh, you're the only person that's going to know. But the thing is, and ultimately what either makes people stick or chicken out, and again, this is you cannot deny this. It is the God's honest truth. Anybody that says differently is not telling you the truth. And it's about whether you are sincerely ready to go in there, and if it doesn't work out, to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
It is just that simple. You know what I mean? And take that walking away for whatever it's worth. You know, and I don't say that like I'm, you know, you and I or people that have done are Mr. Tough Guys, because you know, because some people have had to walk away. But I think it is that ultimately it is that thing that separates the guys that do it or don't do it. And I understand both.
I've had Vince tell me that is a great piece of advice. You have to pick the hill you're willing to die on.
Right.
And when it comes time, like you said, you have to, here's my hill. I'm either going to take it or I'm going to walk away and die on it.
Yeah. I don't know if the guy that I am now.
Right.
Would have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a ton more easy going now. Mm-hmm. And I just went, all right.
You know, it's funny.
You know what I mean? Just got the paycheck or whatever, but it was different.
The character I played when we had our angle in 2008, I couldn't do that guy now. Like, legit, just dropping straight in. Like you said, like, I'm a different person. I could not play that guy.
Right.
As you go through your life, like you said, much more easygoing or different stages of your life. It's interesting that you said that because you go through the phases of your life and it's like, I could do it then, but I don't think I could do it now.
Right.
You know?
I mean, and then that's the thing you get, you certainly, is, you know, it's where the, whatever the players, you got to play within yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And even we have to do that. Look, that's part of what we do, which again is totally different than acting, is because we're playing the same guy all the time, we have to, for the most part, you know, everybody calls it now reinventing yourself.
Yeah,
so
that's
to speak.
Right.
And you do, but you know, one of the things that makes it a little bit easier is that you, as an individual in real life, do change.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that does, you know, add different aspects.
That reflects
and
on your character.
Yes,
yeah.
to your character and stuff like that. And that's, you know, I think, even though, you know, again, I don't think either one of us could do that again the way that we did it, you know, because heck, even, you know, I mean, we were close then, but I you know, we're older, we're closer, you know what I mean? It's different now.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
That's a moment in time. You know?
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I, you know, I don't know, but there's a part of me, there are times, you know, and also like from your character now, you were still, I think, had more ability to be dislikable then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've sort of gotten to that point now to where they're only gonna and everybody, you know, I mean, you know, if you've done, you know, a fair amount of decent work for them over the years, everybody gets it. I think it's a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. You get the respect.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's only so much we're gonna dislike because we know, you know, because we know you've been entertaining us all these years, and we like it and we enjoy it, and it's just too, you know. We'll do the booing you a little bit for a little bit, but at the same time, we go like, hey, you know what? You're a hustler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a hard worker, so we'll, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even in that, you know, it's as you start to get that, it's too hard to try to force that into a, you know, that square peg into a round hole.
Right.
Yeah.
Just winding down here, there was a match that happened the other day in at the beginning of January in Tokyo at the Tokyo Dome between a guy called Kenny Omega and a guy called Okada. Omega, Winnipeg boy. People are calling it the best match of all time. It was an incredible match. Some people are saying it's a 6-star match, whatever that means. And to me, I watched it, and it is an incredible match. But to me, the greatest match for me that I've ever seen was Undertaker Michaels 1, and 2 wasn't far behind it. Looking back on that match and that legacy that was set, what do you remember about that? Because to me, it was the perfect storm of two legendary characters that had this great chemistry in the ring, but the storyline to get there with, like, you know, the his choke slam, your super kick. I mean, everything was perfectly built. Do you still look upon that as your best match or one of them?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, the light versus the darkness and all of that was figured in.
The ring entrances and everything,
But I will say this, you know, I think, and maybe it doesn't happen to, you know, well, I mean, I now recognize it doesn't happen to everybody, but certainly, again, has to me that, you know, again, that all the greatness stuff becomes pretty, you know, there's no, you know, there's no such thing in our line of work. There's no such thing in any line of work. I mean,
as right? what?
Well, the greatest.
Greatest match of all, whatever.
There's just none of that.
It's opinions.
It is. Yeah. I mean, and that's for the time, all of it is for the time being.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My generation is going to say Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player.
Good call.
All time. This generation is going to say LeBron James, you know, and there's probably, people that, you know, whatever, Oscar Robinson, whatever,
Larry Bird,
Tom
from the
Brady,
60s,
Joe Montana. Yeah. I mean, it's just all of that is going to change. Although I will say again, that being here in Florida helps you. I mean, like I never seen Kenny Omega, but I've heard great things about him.
He's
I don't know anything about the Japanese stuff.
Good performer, good character.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what I
typical
hear.
Good Canadian wrestler. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the fine tradition.
Right, which is fantastic. And again, I think, to me, I look at all of it as, again, the wrestling business being in good hands in the future. You know what I mean? I've so enjoyed, and I've said it a number of times, like, I will slowly, you know, fall down the ladder because I'm not going to continue to, you know, to prop up, you know, whatever. Me and the Taker's the greatest man. It was phenomenal. I was, you know, but the stuff you and I did, I mean, I did stuff with Scott Hall. I did stuff with Bret Hart. I have got the opportunity to be a part of some of the biggest, most important, most transitional things in the pro wrestling business. You know, as far as being on the pulse of change and innovation and stuff like that. You know, I'll take whatever my resume is. I'm way down with it, and I'm proud of all that stuff. But certainly, there's gonna come along stuff. Again, there's stuff that I see that people say is great, and I go, I mean, it's really, really good, but it does not work for me because it's too much of this or too much of that.
I agree. Yeah.
Now, again, and it isn't for me to judge, but fans or experts or whomever it is we're talking about that makes these decisions on that stuff, they can all talk about how, again, telling a story and the basics and this, that, and the other, and, you know, shouldn't be doing all this flip-flop and flying. They love it when you flip-flop and fly. Yeah. You know what I mean? They'll say that on one hand, and they'll talk about how they want wrestler safety, and then, you know, you know what I mean? Because they have to, but then you go out there and, you know, you work a hole too long or whatever, and they're going to boo you out of the building.
Yeah.
You know, you almost kill yourself for me. You know, shut up and dance, monkey. I paid my money. You know, you know what I mean?
You're right. Yeah.
Again, and I don't mean that to, I'm not saying it to hurt feelings or to get anybody mad at me or whatever, but it's just a little, we've all got a little hypocrisy in us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even though, the only thing that makes you maybe worse than the rest of us who have it is when you deny having it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You just do. And so I think it's all on what people want. You know what I mean? I am just finding that, for me, it is. It is a perfect balance between, again, some nice little movement and stuff like that. But ultimately, it's about, you know, that those announcers bringing in that storyline and that match representing that storyline. The only thing that I find recently that they may not deliver on that is because nobody's had the luxury of having the depth of a story that Mark and I have, because there's just so much history there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I can get that guys are having great wrestling matches, but I just don't, you know, I don't think you're going to really have the ability to create the history. Again, it's
that's why I think it works so well.
Right. Yeah. And I'm saying it's the difference between guys are now great in 6 months. There used to be a time when greatness happened in 16 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's, and again, it is.
Great point.
It's much faster on, you know, whatever. Everything's a touch of a finger. So again, I'm not down with any of the modern stuff. I'm just saying, you know, it's different perspectives, mm-hmm. and I just see things from a different perspective. I don't, you know, like I said, I'm sure it's a phenomenal match, but again, I'm gonna look at it and go, I don't know. They could both be standing in front of me. I couldn't pick them out of a lineup.
Not you yet.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, and again,
no, I get you yet.
Not as a knock.
Right.
Just saying, it's hard. You know, when you're announcing that there's the history and this and that. You know what I mean? That would make all whatever it is.
And that's why I think it is my favorite, because like you said, there's another guy that never worked for another guy. Once he came through that WWE curtain, he was there for 25 years, just like you. You know.
And the other guy, and that's what I'm saying. So, in all those other guys' defenses, because I sincerely mean that as well. That is not a knock.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they haven't had the opportunity to have, you know, the history
exactly.
on top of that, and to work a match around that history, which I think adds to.
Is that your? Could you even pinpoint your favorite match? Is that a thing for you?
Absolutely impossible. I've had so many. I mean, there's you and I did fun stuff. Again, like for me, it's like, you know, you and I could go back and wrestle now. Think about the history. They'd
good
have
point.
To
That's
build
right.
on that.
That's
now.
Right.
You know, I mean, me and Hunter. You know, so again, there are things.
It's an intangible.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That only happens with a certain amount of time. And again, like I said, that's not a knock. It doesn't mean matches aren't good. They are good.
Sure.
I mean, and some guys, you know, and again, these guys probably have a history that I don't even know about. You know what I mean? And so that's not on them. That's on me as the viewer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, so I mean, I'm certainly, I guess, going to be more biased because, I mean, I'm more familiar with, you know, and I think that's why a lot of people, you know, say that, even guys like that both those individuals that you're talking about, you know, we'd like them, you know, people like me, I'd love them to come to the WWE because I'm not going to see him otherwise.
Then you get to know them, right? Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, I love and, you know, appreciate the fact that the business gets better and more talented guys come along and stuff like that. But I'm not, you know, again, I'm a 51-year-old dude that's, I've done all my heavy lifting. I'm not going to, I ain't going to search to find you, brother. That's my fault.
That's true. Last question. Who are some of your favorites in the company that you've seen these days?
Yeah, well, Kevin, Joe, Seth, AJ. You know, honestly, those all the people that, you know, they sort of stick my name to, although I'm actually more familiar with a lot of the the NXT guys.
What do you think of those guys? What about some of those
guys
on there?
You know, I tell you what I thought was really cool was the UK tournament. Okay, and then the two last guys in it,
Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne.
Yeah. Yes, and again, it was just I heard the name Nigel McGuinness. Dude did a fab. I don't know if he's ever done commentary. Fabulous job. He knew so much.
Wow,
it was the history. Yeah. Again, so for me as a viewer, him and Cole were great together. And he knew so much of the history of the guys, but the style was a little different, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that Pete Dunne was like a throwback of, I mean, again, just some of the stuff. He cranked on the guy's fingers. I'm like, oh my god. Well, you know, I mean, he had such a, again, almost like a Fit Finley.
I was going to say the old Fit Finley throwback.
You know,
yeah.
and Regal style that you go. Same thing I said about them. Like, oh my goodness, I'd have a field day with you guys. You know, selling. You know, that's one of those things where you go, I could go back and do that match right now. You know what I mean? Because you don't need to be in shape.
Yeah.
But it is such a good story. You know, and the last one. I mean, the Tyler Bates, you know, his shoulder was hurt. you know, and it worked. It was worked perfectly for that kid's style. You know, again, it was just I was fascinated by that, and I liked that different aspect. I liked the cruiserweights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing them back in. That was always something. That's one of, you know, I'm I guess one of those rare guys back in the WCW days. I always liked that you guys did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That you had that. Again, it was always sort of there. You knew what you were gonna get. Okay, it wasn't about like, oh, the psychology and this. That. You know, you understood it, that it was going to be, you know, quick and going, but it was cool stuff to see.
It was different.
Yeah.
Different from the norm,
I mean,
yeah,
and they were just doing it, because there was also a lot of, you know, like TJ. I mean, TJ Perkins, that kid's a good technical,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They just, some of those dudes come up in some, you know, pretty crazy looking holds, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess, and I always, it's like I've even told the girls, you know, I would steal so much stuff from a lot of those young kids. I'd get it on the pay-per-view and it'd be mine.
You know what I mean? That's how it works.
Exactly. That's right.
That's how it works, man.
And I'd be like, I'd have so much more longevity because I would make bits like, holy cow, Sean's doing, you know, learning a whole lot of new wrestling stuff. I'd be stealing a bunch of stuff from all them.
Dude, it's always great to talk to you, man. The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. Go check it out, and you'll see Sean repair a car.
Yeah.
And what was it? Single mom car, SDMFH or whatever it was.
Yeah. Cars for single moms.
Yeah, he gives cars for single moms. Yeah.
That's the ministry work he does. Well, of course, and I have to tell you that real quick.
Sure.
No greater acting in the whole movie. And even my daughter looked over at me and she's like, oh my gosh, when I started rattling off all the stuff that was wrong with the car, my wife and my daughter like, you don't know anything about cars. That was brilliant right there. You know?
Check the oil and check the gas. Yeah. That's about it.
It's it, man. I drive it to places for people that know about that stuff. Oh my.
You are about to participate in a great adventure.
Something I can see coming out of that black hole of the eyes. It might be a face.
Wanted more of the best in paranormal talk radio? Podcast One and Jericho Network answered. Now, 5 nights a week, Beyond the Darkness. Subscribe now.
All right, thanks so much to Shawn Michaels. He's such a good friend of mine and a great, great proponent. Maybe my favorite proponent of all time. And he's excellent in the new movie, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. It's in theaters now. Go check it out this weekend if you're looking for a good family movie. Like we said, it's faith-based, but it's not dependent on faith. It's a funny comedy about a guy who gets a second chance, and we can all use a second chance. Go check it out now, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, co-starring Shawn Michaels. Always great to have HBK on the podcast. Thanks to him for being here, and thanks to him for being HBK. Very candid and one of the greatest performers of all time, if not the greatest of all time. Thanks to him, and thanks to you guys for listening, and thanks to all the great sponsors who make Talk Is Jericho possible every week. Couldn't do it without them or you. Thanks to the Books. Use my promo code Jericho when you order at Books.com, BOUQS.com. Save 20% off your flower purchase. Remember, Valentine's Day is coming up very quickly, so go order them now. Be prepared. Also, DDP Yoga. Get 25% off all DDPY merch and swag at DDPYoga.com/Jericho. And if you buy a max pack or a combo pack, you'll get a second one for 50% off the price that's already 25% off. And of course, the OG sponsor, Amazon. They've been here from the start. Do all your online shopping through the Talk Is Jericho Amazon links. Easiest way to support this show. It's hassle-free. You can find the Amazon links at podcast1.com. Click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. I got the Amazon links for the USA, the UK, the Canada. Every time you use these links, Amazon gives back a small percentage to this show to help us cover production costs. No extra fees or hidden charges. Podcast1.com. Click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. And don't forget, March 15, 2017, the biggest podcast ever. 46 days and counting until Mick Foley joins the show. It's going to be a rocking show, just like Team Tiger Awesome, just like Keeping It 100 with Conan, just like Killing the Town, just like Beyond the Darkness. All the great shows you can find on the Jericho Network. Go check them out now via Podcast One. We've got a little bit of everything. They're bringing some new great shows to you. You're not going to be bored when you're talking about the Jericho Network. Go to iTunes, subscribe, and stars, ratings, and review. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, we love you. I hope you got a chance to listen to the This Is the XFL podcast. The show we did a few days ago, it was amazing. Getting great reviews. And, of course, the Haunted Collectors episode. Ugh, some creepy stuff from John Safis. And this Wednesday, we are continuing to rock and roll. Another huge guest, Kevin Owens, live in Toronto. 64 Survivor Series. We'll do the Live Talk is Jericho podcast in Toronto at the Bassett Theater. On Wednesday, you're going to hear the whole story. I know Kevin's been on quite a bit, but he's a great guest, and he's my best friend, man. We are the U.S. Universal Champion, right? So go check it out. Kevin Owens will be here on Wednesday. Peace, love, and hugs. Stay safe. Have a great weekend. Go see the resurrection of Gavin Stone. And remember, always, yeah, boy!
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.